Back in March, the Mega Million was up to 1.2 billion, and one person won it. It was back in the news because nobody had claimed it as of 2 days ago. They came forward yesterday and claimed it. The current jackpot, of course, is later tonight, 11 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, $970 million. That would be a really nice Christmas present. 2024 might go down in my head as the year that gambling took over everything. From those massive lottery jackpots to ESPN having their own sports book, to every report about a game leading with whether the team covered or not. Gambling became absolutely pervasive. And everything seemed to be reduced to the odds. From daily updates, who had the best odds to win the White House, to my insurance company after my accident deciding I was no longer a good bet, to Bitcoin being the game, investment of choice. There are lots of things that the world is always looking for. Some of them you might call gambles. Some you might call investments. And it does it in ways large and small. $1 trillion or more is being invested on creating artificial intelligence. Whether it ever is actually intelligent or becomes cheaper in electricity and compute power than you and me, that's the bet. Most of our homes have ceased being the places that we live and raise families, the homestead. They've become our primary investments. And the vagaries of real estate can make us do things we would not otherwise do. We don't want to be the lambs dwelling with the wolves. It's the uncertainty. It's the curse in the garden that the earth will bring forth thorns and the work will be separating our food from the thistle. It's the fear of not being on the top of the food chain. Whether that is Herod hearing about a newborn king of the Jews, or an office worker casting a side eye at an artificial intelligence. The fear is that there will be no room in the inn. It's also the flip side of that, the uncertainty, but the envy and greed and lust and impatience that we have. Chaos and change can be ladders to success. There's a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted. And the voyage of life is bound in shallows and misery. Of course, that is a quote from Brutus, who thought he was surfing the high tide, stabbing Caesar. Only, of course, to have Dante put him along with Judas in Satan's mouth as the greatest traitor, the world's worst bet. But you place your bets, and you take your lumps or your winnings. Now, Pascal and his famous wager might be placed on a baby in a manger. And sometimes faith may feel like just another bet. Or maybe it feels like a hedge against all of our other bets. If we never get rich here, maybe we can have treasure in heaven. But that's the type of thinking that Freud made fun of, that he didn't think faith was real over. And faith itself really isn't our bet. As Luther would say about the work of the Holy Spirit, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him. Or he could have said, I don't believe we can place our own bets on this. We don't have anything to bet that is worthy. You might say that it was God who placed the bet. He made all of this. Did he need to do it? Was God not complete in himself? Placed a bet that all creation would glorify him, which might have looked like a losing bet, especially after the garden. Through the long years of patriarchs and prophets, none of which seemed to sway many back to that praise. Maybe God is a degenerate gambler. A responsible bettor might have just wrapped it all up. But God doubles down. He enters his own creation, which again, on a Friday afternoon outside of Jerusalem, didn't look like a winning bet. The cross looked like coming up crappers. He came to his own. His own did not receive it. But it wasn't a bet. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word is one of those words that means a whole bunch more. This is the plan. This is the way things were made. The Word. It was there from the beginning. And in that Word, God came to us. He offered himself as a pure gift. For unto you this day is born a Savior. It isn't a bet, it's a promise that all who receive him, who believe in his name, will become children of God. And God doesn't do this by chance or fate or luck, all of the things that a bet depends upon. God does this by his will. God desires to give to you the gift of Jesus Christ. He desires you to be his child. Not children of blood or of flesh, but children of his will, of the Holy Spirit, through the gift of Jesus, the Word. Became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. He did this that we might see and believe and live. God didn't roll the dice over your eternal soul. God didn't lose you to sin, death, and the devil just to win you back. You have always been His, and nobody can snatch you away from it. As far away from uncertainty or chaos or betting as possible. Because He's the King of peace. A peace that passes all of our understanding. He came as that gift to us. As the light that shines in the darkness. The token of the Father's love for you, the love of God ere the worlds began to be, the love of God for you, seen in His sacred face, evermore and evermore. Amen.